We're only down to three more games left in the NFL and the whole football season. And we're a little spoiled this weekend. We get Tampa Bay and Green Bay and Buffalo and Kansas City. And we're a little bit spoiled here if you follow his work with the great crew at Arrowhead Pride. Kent Swanson joins us. Kent, good Friday afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm great, and I was doing a lot better until you reminded me we only have three football games left.
I know, but then you know what? In your world, it shifts once the horn sounds and the confetti falls in Tampa. It shifts to the draft, which will be rather interesting this year. But with the two games that are on the docket this weekend, let's of course focus on the Chiefs and the Bills. I got to ask you about an injury. I know you're expecting it to be about 15. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, does he play on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we're trending in that direction. I don't know what the workload's going to be for him, though, and that's going to be a fascinating case because the last time these two teams matched up, the Buffalo Bills were really content to let the Chiefs run the football and put the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 161 yards rushing. The last time he's been over 100 yards this season was against the Bills. He was a very valuable piece to this team. Hopefully they're able to get him involved, but I don't know what his workload's going to be, if they're going to be able to get him up to that, you know, 20-plus carry mark.
So the one thing that, you know, you see with the Chiefs is the next man up. That mentality is there. There's so, you know, guys go down with injuries and the next guy up, and it's not all Chad Henne. It's Williams who got an extensive role last week, and Bell is banged up as well. So what does Williams' role look like this week? With something you mentioned, Kent, is how successful way back in week six the Chiefs were in running the ball against the Bills.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Darrell Williams involved. And the Chiefs love Darrell Williams. He's a guy that does a lot of the little things for this football team. He's their most reliable pass protector, a trusted player that's going to get what's there. Interestingly enough, he averaged 6 yards per carry last week against the Browns. And Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, for reference, each averaged 5.3 yards. So he had more production on a per-carry average than those two guys. I think you're going to see him involved, probably especially on third downs, which is where he's gotten a lot of work anyway. And I bet you he gets some of that early down work as well.
So if you go back to week six, and these two teams are going to be, you know, they're different from that night in Buffalo in a game that the Chiefs won, but they, you know, the Chiefs ran all over. They ran for 245 yards. In that game, Kent, it was very apparent that Buffalo said, we're not letting Tyreek Hill run by us, so we're going to keep a lot of stuff underneath. And there was the option to run, and Kansas City kept running and running and running. Do you think that option will be there on Sunday as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a similar game plan for the Bills. And I think that's smarter than take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands any chance you can. And you know, a lot of teams, what they've liked to do is, like you said, trying to eliminate the explosive plays with Tyreek Hill. Keep a lid on the on the offense and hope that these explosive plays in the passing game don't happen. And, you know, forcing the Chiefs to execute at a high level in the red zone, which largely they've been very good there, but there have been stretches where they've struggled a little bit. I mean, the Bills kept the Chiefs to 26 points. And, you know, a mistake here or there can really limit, you know, the Chiefs, especially if, you know, it's going to be a game where possessions are reduced because, you know, they're forcing these long, sustained drives.
Do you think if I look at that game and thinking about Andy Reid, I think it was amazing back then, and maybe it'll be the case on Sunday, is that Andy Reid, as in his experience as a play caller in so many different situations in his football career, that he wasn't like itchy to say, oh, you know, I know it's there, we can run whenever we want, but we're the Chiefs, we've got this high explosive offense, that he dedicated in that game to the run. What have you learned about him, especially with his connection with Mahomes, on the kind of play calling that they are at right now, and maybe what leads you to believe from week six to the AFC Championship game, what he might like to dial up?
Well, I think you got to look at specifically with some of the situations with, you know, like the heavy run script against the Bills. The Chiefs employ almost exclusively those run pass options. So there is always a read being made by Patrick Mahomes where there's a pass play tag to their run concept a lot of the time. So part of it was just the fact that defense was dictating it. And as much success as they were having, I think he was content to do it. Andy Reid, though, I mean, that I love the fact that he integrates the run-pass option, and obviously that's probably going to be in play this week. But Andy Reid's done such a phenomenal job, I think, of pacing this football team. I still think there are some areas in this offense with the running back passing game specifically where I think, you know, that Andy's probably held some stuff back. He's mm-hmm. always evolving, but Andy Reid's objective has kind of always been, let's hold on to as much as we can while winning this game and kind of pacing ourselves throughout the season. There are some things that the Bills haven't seen on tape, some unscouted looks that the Chiefs are going to throw at them. And I think, you know, Andy's got a lot of tricks in his bag. You're going to see a lot of them this week to try to get back to another Super Bowl.
This Buffalo defense, Ken, is smaller. They are fast. So, you know, you would look at that and go, okay, they can at least kind of keep up with the speed of Kansas City's skill guys. But is that a good or a bad thing if you're playing Kansas City to have a little bit smaller defense like Buffalo has?
So I think I agree with you from an overall perspective. I think there is a lot of athleticism on this defense, but I think what's interesting is the back end of their defense, I wouldn't say is the most athletic group in the National Football League. So while there is a lot of, you know, you got an Ed Oliver up front, who's one of the more athletic defensive linemen we've seen the last few years of this draft. Matt Milano will be in for this game. He wasn't there the last week. Tremaine Edmonds. An absolute freak. There are some very, you know, long athletic players in their front. I think their back end's susceptible too, though. You know, I don't know if Jordan Poyer is exactly the highest level athlete. Tre'Davious White is one of the best corners in football, but his long speed and his quickness aren't necessarily what he hangs his hat on. While there is a lot of athleticism on that defense, and I do agree it's a smaller athletic defense, and I think they could be susceptible to some, you know, shot plays down the field if they're not going to play that off in soft coverage like we talked about from the earlier matchup.
I think you and your colleagues broke down last week really, really well at Arrowhead Pride about the defense and playing a team defense. And when it mattered most, Kansas City's defense showed up. And, you know, you got Matthew kind of sits in the weeds, but it's been a collective effort. And there's been some, you know, injuries and some new faces on that side of the ball. I go back to watching Buffalo play this year, and, you know, Josh Allen has come a long way from year one to year two. There is absolutely no doubt. Teams that play man against him, I mean, he's out there like he's playing at St. Pius X at recess. He's just chucking it all over the place. But against zone, he struggles, and the confusion that some of the stuff that happens at pre-snap. Steve Spagnuolo is pretty good at his disguising of defenses. What do you think his game plan looks like in the second go-around against Josh Allen?
I think Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best in the National Football League at disguising coverages. And not to discredit anything from Josh Allen and what he's done to this point, because I'm catching some L's on my pre-draft takes of him. I didn't think he was going to be put in a situation to reach his ceiling, and he undoubtedly has. But I think, you know, he's kind of towed the line a little bit this year, and I think he might be a tick slow to process on some things. I think you saw that a little bit last week. I kind of expect Steve Spagnuolo to really mix things up, force Josh Allen to think a little bit longer. And I think if that happens, I think Josh Allen's susceptible to a few mistakes here. This is such a big game, and they've made some really great strides in Buffalo. But I think this is a game where it kind of catches up to Josh Allen a little bit, who's been toeing that line between madness and brilliance all year, and largely is he's really done a good job protecting the football. Steve Spagnuolo, you talked about Tyrann Mathieu, he's going to be moving him all over the place. And the Chiefs have done a phenomenal job of doing that. So that's kind of one of the things, one of the big keys of this game, I think, is mixing coverages up against Josh Allen. And I think Spagnuolo and this defense is up to the task.
What's your gut say about a score? What are you thinking for a total in this game?
Well, I think both of these offenses are going to go out and have some production. I think it's just going to come down to who makes those, you know, few key mistakes. And I think that's going to be Josh Allen. I'm looking at a 35-30 game right now. That's kind of my prediction. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. It's going to be a lot of fun, but there's going to be a couple mistakes and crunch time that ultimately are going to be the difference in this game.
Hey, before we get you out of here, let me pick your brain about the draft. You're Brett Veach. You're sitting there end of April. You got Andy Reid with there as well. You know, you say, hey, Patrick, you were good last year. Who do you want this year? What do you think Kansas City, and you know, and they're going to be again at the bottom of the first round, where do you think Kansas City goes in this draft?
The beautiful thing about this draft for the Chiefs is there's a quality edge group, there's a quality offensive line group, there's a quality receiver group. I think that they're going to have their pickings of a quality football player. There's going to be three or four guys at different positions that they could grab. I would have said Chris Olave before he decided to return, which was a little bit of a shocker. Keep an eye on Rashad Bateman, Landon Dickerson, the offensive lineman out of Alabama, if his injuries check out. Those are a couple of guys I think you could see the Chiefs maybe take a swing at pick 32.
Not the number one overall, but in your opinion, who is the best available player in this draft?
Oh, I think it's the best available player in this draft, I think, is Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a clear cut above everybody else in this class. The term generational gets thrown around a lot. I tend to agree. I think there's just a lot of special about him, and I think the Jaguars are going to be crazy if they don't make that decision to pull the trigger on him.
You think, and I was talking about this earlier, Kent, it's you know, there's only so many teams in the NFL right now that are super comfortable with the quarterback spot. Some are. Tampa Bay has a 43-year-old quarterback. Green Bay has a guy in his upper 30s. You know, not everybody can be in the situation of Buffalo and Kansas City. We could see a large amount of new quarterbacks either changing teams or in this draft. With that said, this quarterback draft is going to get talked about a lot. How many quarterbacks do you see in the first round?
I see four. Commonly hear. You know, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I know there's a lot of people that are big fans of Kyle Trask and Mac Jones. I don't really see the high-level upside in athleticism, which I think is a real important element to modern-day quarterbacking out of those two. And, this is a game where your quarterback has to get himself out of trouble. I worry about guys like Mac Jones and Kyle Trask's ability. The other four that we just mentioned, I have no concerns at all about their ability to create out of structure and throw footballs athletically. And I think those four have really separated themselves from the rest of this class.
Great stuff. Ken, I appreciate it. Enjoy your work with you and the rest of the crew at Arrowhead Pride. Enjoy Sunday.
Thank you so much. Anytime.
That's Kent Swanson. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. I don't know. Here in the last hour, have I been talked into feeling more confident about the Chiefs?
Yeah, you're confident.
Well, there's part of, just like my hesitation with Tampa Bay and what they've done in the postseason, mm-hmm. Buffalo in the two playoff games that they have played, their defensive surge has come against offenses that aren't able to hit you in the pass and the run game like Kansas City. I do think Buffalo is much improved. I think experience helps in a game like this. Mm-hmm. I think Mahomes is going to be fine. The toe probably will linger a little bit. But Kansas City has been in these moments before. I think it'll take a really, really good game from Allen and Diggs. And on offense, the only way Buffalo wins this game is they have the ball last and they outscore Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I don't see them shutting down Kansas City. And I think Kansas City, you're going to fall into the trap of, okay, this is what they did in week six. This might be what they do again. Remember, you got the play caller over there who's trying to outthink you, and he has the weapons to outthink you. Yeah. All right, Dirk Chatelain's coming up here in a little bit. Both of the major newspapers in this state, the Lincoln Journal-Star and the Omaha World-Herald, sat down with Scott Frost within the last hour and fired away questions. The head coach has said that he will stand pat with his current 10-man crew of full-time assistant coaches. So there will be no change as of right now on the coaching staff at Nebraska, and they will look for a special teams analyst. There's a couple of other quotes that Scott had, but the biggest one is that he will not make a change with his current group of full-time assistants. We'll go through a little bit more of that. Dirk will join us coming up at the top of the hour. George, you got to chime in as well. You already know that I like the Packers. You like the Packers. We'll break down the AFC who we like. Wait, you're hesitating on your team?
No, absolutely not. The Packers about to. Okay. Anyway, but the Buccaneers just tweeted out he's back with some.
Oh, Vita.
They can celebrate next week all they want.
Ooh, I like that. More shade from you.
I'm telling you.
Just like our listeners want more leprechaun stories from you.
The picture's up.
They would like, okay.
Yep, the picture's up at Gary Sharp Show on Twitter. It is up. I loved the look. It was great. It was fantastic. Also, just scrolling down.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
It's the mustache for me, though.
I'm glad that you were sponsored by Nike.
You know, those
now,
are the
days. Wait a minute. There's a little part. There's a little part here. I thought you were going to have the little short shorts on as well.
It was cold.
You can wear tights.
It was cold, Gary.
Okay, so when we recreate this here in a couple of months, we'll get you the tights and the boots.
I have some really cool St. Patrick's Day socks, so I'm down with that. I'm so down with that. I know where they are and everything.
I don't know if it's the hat or the mustache that makes this picture. This is fantastic. All right, another hour to go, the final hour of the week of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.